Some of the jobs lost during the pandemic will come back and others will not. So what do we think about this lingering jobs gap, and can employees be trained to do something else or work a different way? 3 years ago, the McKinsey Global Institute estimated 14% of the worldwide workforce would have to switch occupations or acquire new skills by 2030 because of automation or AI. COVID-19 made this a much more urgent question, and in a recent survey, less than half of companies said they didn't know how to address the problem. McKinsey Chairman James Manekes says we're going to have to think about how to create work. He says the automation question is still a complicated one, with the vast majority of people not replaced but working alongside machines.
The skill profile of those workers is going to be quite different. So I would actually even point to the biggest challenge with automation being almost a skilling question to complement what people actually do who are going to be working alongside machines. I'm not worried about automation, you know, destroying jobs, and certainly not in the next 2 decades anyway.
The McKinsey Global Institute gives the example of a pharmaceutical company with 10,000 sales representatives. During the pandemic, they were all working remotely. Going forward, it plans to retain part of that model, with 30% continuing to work remotely, leveraging some of the newly developed skills workers have. CEO of the Business Talent Group, Jody Greenstone Miller, points out the labor market is based on an old model where the employer has much more power as the controller of the benefits and the safety net. She says the coronavirus highlighted some discrimination as a result.
You know, we think about this again in The Tale of Two Cities. You've got workers who are being exploited by the fact that they are not being protected by their employer, but you have workers at the high end who have knowledge, mostly knowledge workers who are remote, who actually like to work this way. You know, survey after survey will show 85% of the high-end workers who are not in W-2 are not in W-2 because they don't want to be. And this is one of the last categories where government actually allows discrimination. I mean, you are not treated the same. And so I think the opportunity here is to really address what's happening in the world.
She would like to see a regulatory system, and while still making sure the government gets its taxes. A senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, Ted Alden, has seen enormous vulnerabilities in healthcare and the economy in the last few months.
You know, we've been shockingly unresilient in this crisis, you know, incredibly vulnerable in ways I think most of us didn't fully appreciate.
Alden says the U.S. should have followed Europe's lead when it came to job sharing and income support supplements. He says the COVID crisis could mean the resurgence of worker power and a strengthening of unions.
People doing distribution work, people in the grocery stores, people in the meatpacking plants are critical to making our society work. That's a sort of invitation for those people to stand up and say, hey, if I'm essential, pay me like I'm essential.
For white-collar workers, the McKinsey Global Institute says remote working was gaining currency before the crisis, but the pandemic has shown telecommuting is here to stay. Here's Jody Greenstone Miller again.
Companies that used to have to close their books every month, you know, with the person in the office, instantly had to be able to do it digitally. And I think the advantage of that is that that will sort of up everybody's game and will affect all communities, because more and more jobs are going to require this kind of digital connectivity throughout an organization.
A recent Gartner CFO survey showed almost 3 in 4 plan to shift at least 5% of previously on-site employees to permanently remote positions post-COVID-19. McKinsey says leaders should pursue a broad reskilling agenda that develops employees' digital expertise and their cognitive, emotional, and adaptability skills. It says companies can't be resilient if their workforces aren't. Ann Thompson, 91.7 WVXU.